So at this time, we're going to have our dear sister, Cheryl D. Anderson, give us an opening prayer.
Thank you, Sister Katrina. Let us bow. Father God, we approach your throne of grace and of mercy, appreciative of all that you do. There is absolutely nothing that compares to you. Your love, just like the song keeps on blessing us over and over and over again. Forgive us, Lord, of our sins. Forgive me of mine, so that with a clean heart I can always call upon your name and you will answer. Lord, I come requesting prayers for us all. So many are bereaved at this time. Many have lost multiple loved ones, inclusive of myself. So many are battling various illnesses. COVID is running rampant. Cancer and diabetes is taking people out of here. Many are hungry. Many are jobless. Many are worn. Inflation is rising. Prices are climbing. Food on grocery shelves are scarce. Gas rates are unbelievable. Church doors are opening and closing on a regular basis, not really knowing exactly what can be done to protect its members while striving not to forsake your assembly. Wanting to come together in person to encourage one another. Depression is a new normalcy, Father God. Children are depressed, unused to all that is going on and happening right before their eyes. Parents are trying to hold it all together, their jobs, maintaining their homes, raising their children, striving to have time for one another while looking to you. Lord, remind us that there is nothing, absolutely nothing too big for you. Remind us that there is nothing that you don't really already know. There are no questions that you don't have the answers to. Remind us that you are still on the throne. Remind us that whatever you allow is for a reason, and also remind us that it is your business. Remind us that our hope should be in you. Remind us that our trust should be in you. Remind us that our faith should be in you. You've never lied to us, and your word tells us that you are incapable of lying. Help us to hold on tightly to your promises. Forgive us for being doubting Thomas. Remind us to be thankful for what you've already done for us. And remind us to be confident that you will never leave us nor forsake us. Remind us when times come that will shake us up with the throngs of life, draw tears from our very eyes. Remind us to look to the hill from which cometh our help, allowing us to grasp that exclusively our help cometh from you. And with that being said, we press on for the mark. In the mighty name of Jesus the Christ Almighty, I ask all things. Amen.
Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you so much, Sister Cheryl, for that powerful, powerful prayer. Now we're going to have our scripture reading done by our dear sister, Diane B. Graffin Reed.
Good evening, sisters. I will be reading scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 13, coming from the English Standard Version. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, but the greatest of these is love. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of all of his holy and divine words. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Sister Diane, for boldly reading God's word on tonight. Now we're going to have a song praise by our dear sister, Terry White Greer.
I really love the Lord. I really love the Lord. You don't know what he's done for me. Made me love victory. If I love him, I love him. I really love the Lord. Oh, I know how good God has been. Oh, he is such a Lord. You're free. When my back was against the wall, Jesus, he paid it all. Oh, I love him. I love I really love the Lord. And you don't know what he's done for me. He gave me the victory. I love him. I really love the Lord. You don't know what he's done for me. Gave me the victory. I love him. I love him. I really love the
Amen. Thank you so much, Sister Terry. That is one of my favorite songs. I really love the Lord. Thank you so much for allowing God to use your voice on tonight. Now we're going to have the introduction of the speaker of the hour, and that is going to be done by her very own daughter, Sister Tracy Crenshaw.
Good evening, sister. I will be reading a bio and introducing my mother, Lalita Crenshaw. Lalita Renee Crenshaw is a member of the Barrister Street Church of Christ in Shelbyville, Tennessee. She has been a member of our Lord's body since April 1965 at the age of 11 years old. She is a retired preschool teacher, but has worn many career hats and is presently an entrepreneur in a business venture with her daughter and sister. She is presently the conference call facilitator of the Ladies Devo and Prayer Ministry for the Bird Street Congregation. She has been a Ladies Day speaker, youth worker, Sunday school, Wednesday night, and VBS class teacher. Teacher of women's ministry class at Universal Church of Christ in Nashville, Tennessee. She has been a member of LPW since 2017 and participated in her first 100 days of prayer in 2018. She is a member of the Welcome Team, Health Team, and ESAL Team. She enjoys working in the Lord's body wherever there is a need. She is a widow, only son deceased, mother of four daughters, grandmother of 16 grandchildren, 8 great-grandchildren, and 3 granddaughters, and 5 granddogs. The Lord is truly in the blessing business. She has been, a foster parent and adoptive parent of 20 other children. Next, you will hear Sister Lalisa Crenshaw with her lesson for tonight.
Good evening, sisters. Would you pray with me? Oh, my God, our Heavenly Father, I come to you tonight as humbly as I know how, asking you to forgive me of my sins so that as I deliver this lesson and prayer, that they won't be hindered. Thank you, Father, for health and strength and this opportunity to share a lesson that may help someone tonight. Go with us through this Bible series tonight that it gives you the glory and honor that you deserve. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Sisters, I want to thank the admins for this opportunity to come to you with this message from the heart. I want to thank all the participants that have done such an awesome job. Sister Katrina Stafford for being the best host. Sister Cheryl Anderson for a wonderful job with the opening prayer. Sister Diane DeGraffa-Reed for reading our scriptures so eloquently. Sister Terry White Griff for that beautiful song. Sister Tracy Crenshaw for such a wonderful introduction. And Sister Adrian Jameson, who will be bringing us our closing prayer. And I also would like to say thank you for coming, especially if you are a first-time caller or not a member of LPW. You are our honored guest. Our theme this month is love. So I've chosen for my subtopic, the greatest of these is love. You know, love is a commonly used word. I love chocolate. I love that sports team. I love playing games. I love my friends. With how often we love things, we may forget the power involved in love. If love describes both how we feel about food and our family, how does that change the statement, God is love, or God loves me? There are 4 main categories that love tends to fall into: eros, storge, philos, and agape. These are Greek words. Eros was the Greek god of love. The word represents what we consider today to be romantic love. Eros love is what you feel when you tell someone you've fallen in love with them. Storge is what we may call fondness or affection. It's a natural love, something you may feel towards your family or your pets, It also can be considered something that grows out of philos into a more romantic love. Philos is the love of friendship. It is a strong, intimate, and non-romantic love between people. And in the Bible, it is often compared favorably with agape love. And while there is distinction between the two, they are considered similar. Agape love is described as the highest, purest, and noblest form of love. It is the unconditional love, the love that will do anything for another regardless of cost. This is the form of love that is most commonly used in the Old Testament. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and body, and love your neighbor like yourself. Paul has captured for us the Christian personality in 9 traits. From Galatians 5:22-25, he tells us the Spirit produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. You may have heard about the fruit of the Spirit and wonder, what is it? And how it relates to our Christian faith. Love is probably the most well-known fruit of the Spirit, but it is also maybe the most misunderstood. The fruit of the Spirit cannot be imitated. Why? Because the fruit of the Spirit is manifested by what a person is and not what a person does. Jesus Christ forever set the record straight when he said, "By their fruit you shall know them." This fruit is internal and eternal lasting. The most important part of the message which Jesus preached and which his followers taught is that God is concerned about what is on the inside and the further development of these traits through the Spirit. The power of Christ was not really in the miracles which he performed, but rather in the message which he left for us. Just like physical fruit needs time to grow, the fruit of the Spirit will not ripen in our lives overnight. As we mature in our faith, all the characteristics of our spiritual fruit will grow as well. Jesus used the word love 51 times during his teaching. In John 15:17, he used the word love in a command. These things I command you, that you love one another. One of the most important traits of Christian character is love, a fruit indicating the presence of the Holy Spirit. Christian-based love always seeks to do the right thing. 1 Corinthians 13, 1-7, if I speak in the tongue of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. 1 Corinthians 13, also known as the love chapter, tells us that love is patient, love is kind, and love never fails. But in the world we live in, love often fails. We see it in marriages, families, relationships. Even as imperfect Christians, we often fail at love. In society, we have overused the word love in ways that minimize the depth of what real love is. We say we love that movie or we love those blueberry pancakes, or we love a Facebook post. God demonstrates his perfect, selfless, agape love to a world that is often confused about what true love is. As a child of God, we need to strive to show others God's love through us, whether it be reaching out to a friend in need, volunteering in a mission, giving our time to a cause. Reach out in love and let the fruit of love ripen itself inside your spirit. John 13:35 tells us, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Jesus is love. So Jesus lifted me. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters, Jesus lifted me. Now safe am I. Jesus lifted me. Jesus lifted me. When nothing else could help, Jesus lifted me. Jesus lifted me. Jesus lifted me. When nothing else could help, Jesus lifted me. Souls in danger, look above. Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by his love out of the angry waves. But the master of the sea billows his will obey. He, your Savior, wants to be saved today. Jesus lifted me. Jesus lifted me. When nothing else could help, Jesus lifted me. It's been noted that 1 Corinthians 13 points a composite picture of the person and character of Jesus Christ. So please reread this chapter with me, replacing the word love with the word Jesus. As we do meditate upon any new insights into the character of Christ which comes to you, so you make a note as you meditate on this and say this with me. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have Jesus, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have Jesus, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast but do not have Jesus, I gain nothing. Jesus is patient. Jesus is kind. He does not envy. He does not boast. He is not proud. He does not dishonor others. He is not self-seeking. He is not easily angered. He keeps no record of wrong. He loves, Jesus does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. He always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Jesus never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. The Bible's most succinct definition of love can be found in 1 John 4:16. God is love. Simple, to the point, complete, easy to remember. God is love. Notice that it doesn't say God does love when he feels like it. Not. God is love. And in the manifestation of who and what he is, God, in his word, proclaims love toward a needy world. The golden text of the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." John 3:16. That's where we have come into the equation. God loved us into his kingdom. The toughest thing about love is being loving to others. Some people are easy to love, but what about those unlovely people, those enemies? How is it possible to love like God loves? It's an impossibility for us normal human beings. It can't be done alone. It can only be done in the power of the Spirit and the transformation of the human spirit. There was an ancient rabbi who asked his students how they could tell when night had ended and day was on its way back. The students go, "Could it be when you see an animal in the distance and can tell whether it is a sheep or a dog?" "No," answered the rabbi. "Well, could it be when you look at a tree in the distance and can tell whether it is a fig tree or a peach tree?" "No." "Well, then, when is it?" the students demanded. The rabbi says, "It is when you look on the face of any woman or man and see that she or he is your brother or sister. Because if you cannot do that, then no matter what time it is still night." So then, what are some of the marks by which love can be measured? It will enable you to love your enemies. This benchmark is from Matthew 5:43-48. It reads, "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." In fact, here is a reason for maturity or perfection. This expression is far beyond the ordinary expressions of matured love that there is no doubt that the Spirit of God is at work in you. It is a very special kind of love manifestation. Moffat translates verse 47 this way: "If you only salute your friends, what is special about that?" J.B. Phillips translates this verse as, "Are you doing anything exceptional?" The Christian is to manifest, to show, to act on a very special, exceptional kind of life action by loving an enemy or enemies. Such a love removes all doubt. The person expressing this kind of love is exhibiting the kind of love Jesus showed. A beautiful illustration of this principle takes place at the martyrdom of Stephen when he says, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them," Acts 7:60. This is a genuine fruit of the Spirit in action. Love changes the character of people who love. You simply cannot express this kind of love without being changed yourself. That is the power of this supreme fruit of the Spirit. It isn't only objective, it's subjective. It is an impossibility to love others and still remain unlovely yourself. As the Spirit of God works with the seed which has been planted and the recipient is obedient, love actions melt away any hardness of heart. Our prime example of how this works is from the life of John the Beloved, also known as the Apostle of Love. All of his writings are filled with admonishments to love one another. Yet, it was not always a character trait done. Perhaps you recall that on more than one occasion, Jesus had to deal with James and John, who were nicknamed the Sons of Thunder. John was more than willing to call fire down from heaven to destroy an entire Samaritan village. This was anything but a loving attitude. But in later years, after the Spirit of Christ had been breathed into him following the resurrection and years of following the teachings of Jesus, all of that was changed in him. The thunder may have remained, but it became a passionate love for others, a supreme loyalty to Jesus Christ, and a love for the truth. Yes, when you love, and as you express love, you will experience a dynamic change in your own lifestyle. This is an action of the Spirit in your obedient life. You will be able to love the unlovable. There are lots and lots of people in this world who would not be considered an enemy. These may do us no harm, yet there are people whom we have a hard time loving. We might not hate them, we just dislike them. They may be like running fingernails over a chalkboard in your life, irritating. Who are these people? Quite easy. These are the people you'd rather avoid being around. There are individuals as well as classes of people we just don't like. Maybe they are socially impaired, ill-mannered, loud, slick, not trustworthy, or uncouth. Without manifestations of this kind of love, would we have missionaries? Would there be hospitals? Would churches have built colonies where lepers are cared for? Would there be hospice ministries? Would there be ministries to AIDS victims? Would there be shelters for abused women and children? Natural philanthropists have done much in these kinds of areas, but shouldn't the Christian go the second mile? So the crucial test is the capacity to love all kinds of people. It is the fruit of the Spirit at work, making real changes in the world. I have wept in the night for the shortness of sight that to somebody's need I was blind. But I never have yet felt a twinge of regret for being a little too kind. The author is unknown. The only way that we can love like Christ is because of the work of the Spirit, working on our own spirit, our own attitude, our own selfish actions. This fruit of the Spirit in the bottom line is really a harvest for others. Booker T. Washington said, "I will not permit any man to diminish my soul to hatred." In the practical application of truth, we come not to discovering how the rubber is to hit the road. In the nitty-gritty world where we live, regardless of another's actions, we must be concerned that our reactions always reflect the fruit of the Spirit in the real world. So I want you to ask yourself, am I patient? Am I kind? Am I generous? Am I humble? Am I courteous? Am I good-tempered? Regardless of what another person's actions may be, we are to love like Christ. Remember, love is not based on emotions or feelings. Love seeks the highest good of others. It is a decision to be committed to the well-being of others without any conditions or circumstances. Dear sisters, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear sisters, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. 1 John 4:7 through 12. So as I close reluctantly, I challenge you tonight to ask yourself these questions. Am I patient? Am I kind? Am I generous? Am I humble? Am I courteous? Am I good-tempered? And remember that the greatest of these is love. Thank you, sisters. I hope I brought something to cause us all to reflect on how we can be more like Christ, and the first step of our mirror will be to love like Christ. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you so much, Sister Lalita, for that powerful, encouraging word on tonight. Now, at this time, we're going to have our closing prayer done by our dear sister, Adrienne Jameson.
Good evening, sisters. Bow as I pray. Heavenly Father, we love you, and we thank you for loving us. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your many rich blessings, past, present, and future, if it is your will, Father. Thank you so much for mercy, for grace, favor, and protection, Father. Forgive me of my sins, Father, those known and unknown, so that this prayer will not at all be hindered. Lord, we're so appreciative of Sister Lalita's lesson tonight. May we all take what we need and what we've learned from this awesome, outstanding lesson, Father. May we take what we need and apply it to our daily lives. Lord, I ask you to bless the Lady Prayer Warrior Sisterhood, our admins and the assistant. Bless every endeavor, every team leader. Bless us, Lord, as well, all those participating in the 100 days of prayer, Father. Bless us to remain rooted, grounded, and steadfast and unmovable in praying for our sisters. Help us to remember the vow we made to you as well as our sisters. Father God, I ask you to build a hedge of protection around each and every sister on the line. Bless their families, dear Lord. Until we meet at the next appointed time, Father, it is in Jesus' precious name I do pray. Amen.
Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you so much, Sister Adrienne, for that powerful closing prayer.
You're welcome.